Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. What a joyous day it is today because we have our Eric back in the booth with us after 3 weeks of being in Europe. And Eric,
that's right.
I'm going to break your heart today.
You are?
Yeah.
Dang.
Because last week you missed a show about your favorite topic.
What is my favorite topic?
At least as it pertains to this radio show.
Boy, they're all great topics that we talk about on the show. So,
but you do have a favorite.
Do I? I was not aware of me having a favorite, but okay.
Well, it elicits the same. I'll give you a hint. It elicits a ooh sound from you.
Oh, okay. I think you're being ironic there when you said my favorite, or sarcastic.
Sarcastic,
maybe,
yes.
When you're saying that's my favorite topic. Okay, I think I know what you're talking about, and I'm glad I missed it.
No, you're not. Because it was, okay, so I interviewed Janet Gear, who's the spokesperson for the Puget Sound Starts Here campaign.
Uh-huh.
Now, you played a clip from a video, Dog Doogity.
Yes.
Yes. So it's from that campaign. And
okay.
What we talked about was your favorite topic, dog poop. But what we were talking about specifically was the impact it has on the environment, specifically the water.
You had the scoop on dog poop.
Yep.
On the show last week.
And I called you a little stinker for not being there for it.
Well, it was just by sheer accident that I wasn't there.
Tragedy.
I got to say, I'm all right.
I apologize for not scheduling that interview at a time when you were in town.
It's all right.
I did.
I'll get over it.
And you do know, too, that Barbie plays her part in, she's responsible and aware of the impact that dog poop
does have on the environment.
That's right,
because
there is environment.
Dog scoop Barbie.
We
had that on the show at one point.
So
I remember. You brought it in, yes.
I actually did bring it. Didn't bring it in for the show last week, but sent a shout out to Barbie for doing her part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about today's show, as always. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Maggie McClure, who we talked to this time last year because it is Vashon Sheepdog Classic time again.
Excellent.
Yeah. So in a couple weeks, it's going to be September 30th, October 1st and 2nd on Vashon Island.
Can't believe it's already Sheepdog Classic time again. Where does the time go?
It seems like it was just a few months ago it was Sheepdog Classic time.
I feel like I'm living dog years at this point, you know?
Well, we're going to talk with Maggie in just a few minutes about the event and all that's going on with the event, and then also a bit about herding breeds, Border Collies in particular, but a lot of what we'll be talking about applies to all herding breeds, so that would be, you know, anything from a corgi to a German shepherd to a collie to an Australian cattle dog to an Australian shepherd to a Shetland sheepdog, etc. But Vashon Sheepdog Classic is mostly border collies. There are some kelpies, and kelpie is a sort of lesser-known breed, but a herding breed with a similar style.
They just herd seaweed, right?
Yes.
That's why they're kelpies?
Yes. So, but before we bring Maggie on, I want to thank our sponsors, All the Best Pet Care. Check out allthebestpetcare.com to see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. And I'm excited to announce that, and I announced this last week as well, but I have 3 talks coming up at 3 different All the Best Pet Care locations in October and November that I'm really excited about. The title of the talk is How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. And we're going to be talking all about how you can do that and how you can work with your dog in a way that basically gets them to make the choices that we want them to make. Sunday, October 9th at the Edmonds store, 6:30 p.m. Sunday, October 23rd at the Redmond store, also at 6:30 p.m. And then Thursday evening, November 10th at the Ballard store, and that one will be at 7:30. And you can get all of the addresses of their different locations on their website, which is allthebestpetcare.com. Also like to thank one of our other sponsors, Invisible Fence Northwest. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. And I'd also like to thank the Natural Pet Pantry, who's been with us since the beginning. You can check them out online at naturalpetpantry.com. And they are a local company that makes raw and cooked diets, actual food. So it's either raw meat and vegetables or cooked. They also have some really great homemade treats and dehydrated chicken breast and all sorts of goodies. So you can check them out online, naturalpetpantry.com. So we're going to be talking herding dogs today. So one more thing, Eric, though, I did want to let you know not to, put salt on the wound? Is that the expression?
Yeah.
We did dog talk show trivia last week. Three different questions. Dog talk show listeners, each one got them correct, but the questions were all about dog poop.
Well, okay. If I was going to miss any of the dog talk show trivia episodes, I'm glad that's the one.
No, well. All right. Well, let's bring Maggie.
Just not a fecal fan.
No,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Not. It's okay. We
Call
can't,
me crazy.
We can't all be. Well, let's bring Maggie on the line. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. How is it going?
It's going great. It's nice to have you back on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
So Maggie McClure is with us from Vashon Island, Washington, where she does dog training and behavior over there on the island, and also is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, which is coming up here in just a couple weeks, or less than. So we talked with you last year, about the event, and I'm going to talk to you again about the event. And last year when I talked to you, I hadn't ever attended the event, and then I did attend the event last year, so I have the perspective of having attended the event as well. And I took some videos also, which I plan to do again. But do you remember the time when I happened to be when I was standing next to you and you were talking me through what the dogs were doing,
mm-hmm.
and that the dog and the sheep or you had a face off?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah,
and I happened
that
to be
happen sometimes.
Yeah, and I happened to catch that on video, which was cool. So the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, basically it's a sheepdog trials or herding trials, and it's mostly border collies. And tell us a bit about the event and kind of what the purpose of the event is.
Well, the event actually started in the year 2000, where some islanders got together and they all had border collies and had sheep and decided that they wanted to start a dog trial here. And those folks had kind of ended up going different ways and moving on to different parts of the country and leaving the island. And last year, I decided to go ahead and start the trial back up again and invite the community out in large and the Puget Sound community to come out and enjoy this sport, if you want to call it a sport,
mm-hmm.
of watching these dogs work. So
mm-hmm.
it's a very, well, I don't know if ancient's the word, but the first dog trial ever that, at least historically speaking, there was a trial in Wales in 1873 that was kind of considered like the first official dog trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been happening for a while, even though it's kind of a little under the radar here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And the trials originated for the handlers basically to showcase their dogs' working skill.
Exactly. It would be a bunch of shepherds, and everybody wanted bragging rights. And, you know, rather than just bragging to each other over a beer in a pub, they had brought each other together and actually created a competition. So I think it all started in a very lighthearted way, but it's a pretty, especially in the UK, you know, folks are very competitive and there's a lot of folks doing it there. Here we're a little bit more spread out, which makes it more challenging, but it's a growing sport and it's something that a lot of people with farms or without farms are finding ways to get their dogs exposed to sheep and increase their training and get out there and compete.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's a growing sport, but the work that the dogs are doing dates back, you know, probably thousands of years, the herding, you know.
Yeah, they're the border collie, or what became the border collie, has been seen in a lot of old oil pictures from the 14th century, 15th century. So we know that something that was similar to the dogs we see today were being used up in the, you know, again, the United Kingdom, mostly Scotland, England, and then spreading out from there.
Mm-hmm. And it's called border collie. Is it because they sort of started in the border of England and Scotland?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and I guess, and we'll be talking a little bit later in the show about some training and behavior as it pertains to dog breeds like the border collie, but I don't know if you noticed this as a trainer on Vashon, but sometimes I get these like waves of breeds, like all of a sudden I have like three or four Havanese that I'm working with, or, you know, I get these waves, and currently it's border collies. Perhaps it's because I've been so excited about the Vashon Sheepdog Classic.
That's right. You're sending that vibe out into
energetically,
the universe,
yes.
And they're flocking to you, so to speak.
Pun intended. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's actually going on in the trials. It's so amazing to watch these dogs work, and the setting is gorgeous. It's on Misty Isle Farm again.
Yes, it is. Same field.
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting up on the slope, and there's these green rolling hills, and the dogs are just, to me, it's just one of the most beautiful things to watch any breed of dog really doing what they were bred to do. So we'll have you, when we come back from break, tell us a bit in more detail about what's actually happening and what they're doing.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079. For more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life, that's naturalpetpantry.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check in with all of our regulars, the birds in Bellingham, all the wild ones in Arlington, and the horses in Marysville. Plus, we'll have something new, so join us to find out how you can help the animals on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
1150kknw.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Telephones remind me of my dog.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We are back with Maggie McClure, who's the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. Welcome back, Maggie.
Thank you.
So the website, if you want to check them out online, is VashonSheepdogClassic.com. And do you guys have a Facebook page as well?
We do now, yeah.
Okay. So
Vashon Sheepdog Classic.
Excellent.
Befriend us or whatever.
Friend us. Become a fan.
Become a fan, yeah.
So I went last year after our interview, and it's just beautiful. I mean, Vashon is, it's a nice trip just to get out of the city anyway and get over to the island and slow down for a day. But the setting that you have this on is just beautiful, and it looks like is the picture on your website actually from, from Misty Isle Farm, from one of your trials?
That was shot this last year, and it was such a lovely shot. I'm like, oh, we got to do that. But it is, that field, it's a very unusual field in that it's super duper well maintained. Misty Isle Farms they really manicure it and make it beautiful for us, and we appreciate that. But it's also kind of unusual because most sheepdog trials, you're sitting kind of at the very end of the field and looking kind of up the field to see the dogs work. And this is situated that people, it's almost like a natural amphitheater. Folks can sit up on the hill and have their picnics and, have their binoculars and watch what's going on. And then all the close work, the pen work and the shed work is done right below them. So they get an unusual perspective. Mm-hmm. And a nice perspective for spectating.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, it's kind of nice that way. It's a treat, no doubt, both for us who are competing and those watching.
The first thing that struck me, other than just how beautiful the setting was as we were walking in, when I actually got to see my first dog work at the Sheepdog Classic last year, was how far those dogs run to get to the sheep in the first place, and how beautiful they look moving over the land, because it's these like really soft rolling hills. And it's quite, how far is it that they have to get? Because the sheep are like way out there.
I know. It's pretty wild. And you get to watch them go dashing by, and mm-hmm. it's on that field, it's about 425 yards down the field. So it's a big jaunt for them, and it is. It has a kind of, to echo what you're saying, I it's like almost poetic watching them move.
Yeah.
They're such beautiful athletes anyway, and to actually just see them, it's always fun to watch dogs catch frisbees and stuff like that too, because you see the athleticism. But boy, when they're moving across the ground and the grass and it's quiet and the mm-hmm. setting's beautiful, it just kind of transports you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and they're so fast. And so tell us what are they actually doing? So there's like four sheep. What is that, like a quarter of a mile away then?
Yeah. And the part that where they go out, we call it the outrun, uh-huh. and they head all the way out behind those sheep, and those sheep should ideally stand still and not be affected by the dog at all until the dog comes up right behind them, and it's like a little internal compass in their system that the dog is thinking, I need to bring these back directly to my handler,
mm-hmm.
and every dog's compass is a little different, so you'll hear the handler tweeting their whistle and talking to the dog to help kind of adjust them a bit, because the dog's trusting their internal compass, but they're not looking at their handler, they're behind the sheep, so mm-hmm. they which always amazes me too, it's almost like a boomerang, it's like they know to bring these sheep back to us
mm-hmm.
without really by remembering where they started, not necessarily where they are.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And they have to swing out because they can't just run directly at the sheep, because otherwise the sheep will run away from them, and therefore away from where the dog is coming from, which was from the handler. So they have to know when and how far out they need to swing, so that they come up, like you said, behind the sheep and then move the sheep back towards where they came from.
Absolutely. And I think, like you mentioned, with different breeds of dogs, different herding dogs, folks who are involved with utility or obedience probably see it with the border collie, as a lot of times they have breeds of dogs and they have to go and run to get their dumbbell and bring it back. A lot of times the border collie will have a harder time bringing it things in a direct straight line.
Right.
You know, they just, they have a natural arc. They want to move. They want to arc out.
Right.
They don't want to go, they don't want to travel straight directly at something.
Yeah. So they get to the sheep or come from behind and then start moving the sheep back, and then they have to go through these gates.
Yeah, we set up some panels. We just head out to the field, you know, beforehand. We'll set up the course, and the course is generally, there's a classic international course that happens across the United States, across Canada, UK, France, you name it. It's an international course. So this classic course consists of the outrun that we were just talking about, and then what we call the fetch, which is the where the dog brings the sheep through those first set of panels in a straight line to the feet of the handler, and then they wrap around behind the handler, and then they start what's called driving, which means the natural instinct is of the dog is to bring the sheep, but we do a lot of training to teach them how to walk behind the sheep and push them away. And then we put them through a series of obstacles by pushing the sheep around the field that direction.
Mm-hmm. And then they have to get the sheep, ideally, and I don't remember many, at least while I was there, for the few hours that we were there last year, they have to bring the sheep and end by putting them in a pen.
Yeah, we do. The pen work, when we're working with these type of sheep, and the sheep we have this year, too, are coming all the way from Eastern Oregon. They're coming from the Blue Mountains. These are sheep that are used to running with thousands of buddies. So to be alone in a field with just four or five of them is kind of intimidating for them and a new kind of experience for them,
mm-hmm.
as well as to be managed by a dog around the course, which is not a predator and is actually asking and insisting they go particular directions without fear. So it's a unique relationship that develops between the dog and the sheep. But when it comes to putting them in the pen, these sheep are not used to. They haven't been in a barn. You know, maybe when they lamb out their babies, you know, the people bring them off, the shepherds bring them off the range and will sometimes lamb in a barn. But sometimes they just lamb out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really, it's hard for the handler and the dog. For us as competitors, we need to be really using our finesse work to get those sheep in the pen. And yeah, last year I think the sheep won. there were less sheep going in the pen than not. So
mm-hmm. So yeah. These aren't the same sheep that you used last year.
They're very similar.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Rambouillet, which is a fine wool sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And come from the same region, just a different flock.
And these sheep are not, I don't remember how you phrased it technically, but haven't been worked with dogs that much. Is that true?
Yeah. They're, you know, a dog will probably help him put them on the semi-truck that brings them out to Vashon.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll use the dog to get them back on. So occasionally when they bring them in to do any maintenance on them, their feet, worming, mm-hmm. these kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
Lambing, is usually when the dog and sheep have an opportunity to meet. But even that is in large numbers. So they probably have at least 300 buddies with them.
Yeah.
So it's a different experience. And they're in big pens and they're, being moved around that way.
Which doesn't make it easier for the dogs that are trying to work them.
No, but it really, that's what makes it a good competition, though, too. If we were using sheep that were really
easy,
used to dogs,
yeah.
You know, well, those actually offer their own challenge, too, because sheep that have no dogs quite well become quite cunning in their ability to manipulate dogs. So it's a little bit of both.
Do sheep really manipulate dogs?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, you talked about that standoff that you got to see last year.
Yeah.
And we had one ewe who she did not want to be with her buddies. She did not like having a dog here. It was just, she did not like that dog near her.
So not having it.
She was going to defend herself.
And
So she turned and she's dropping her head and charging that dog and stamping her foot. And that dog was doing a really good job of not biting her, but standing its ground and walking up quietly and slowly and trying to convince her to just let it go and turn around and join her buddies. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he succeeded. I think, or she, it was a girl dog.
Yeah.
I think they finally, it was just like, okay, we're done. I think the person just said, okay,
you know,
if I do this much longer, my dog will lose its patience with this ewe. And we don't want to see dogs biting the sheep.
Yeah.
Unless they truly are. Some sheep will be so aggressive that they will back a dog into a corner and knock them through the fence.
Wow.
And, you know, in that case, you know, maybe, you know, it's okay if the dog is defending itself. But ideally, we don't want to see that kind of conflict happen on the field.
Right. I remember you saying that it was good when that handler was like, okay, we're calling this one quits.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have been productive for anybody let it go further.
Yeah. Exactly. You got it.
The sheep was like, I'm not moving.
And the dog's like, I'm not moving. It was a stalemate. They were going
to. Well, they were so close to each other. They were like nose to nose.
It's like a staring contest. Who's going to laugh first or look away?
If you want to see that, if you want to see that clip from last year that we're referencing, you can actually find it on the Dog Talk Show website. I think it's also on the Facebook fan page, but it'd be easier if you just go to dogtalkshow.com. And then if you go on the homepage on the right-hand side, I think all the posts are categorized, and there's one that's pictures and videos. And if you click on that, it'll bring you to that, to the video of actually that incident that we're talking about, where mm-hmm. that sheep and dog were just like, you know, 12 inches nose to nose apart from each other, just like, I'm not moving. Well, I'm not moving. Well, I'm not moving.
Right.
Yeah, and what self-control that dog exercised by being, and patience.
And patience. Yeah, patience is really key. Some dogs get super excited, and when a dog or when a sheep challenges them, they just feel like they need to go, you know, they're not sure how far they should take it. You know, it takes experience and miles for a dog to just be like, you know, you're not going to hurt me and I'm not going to hurt you, but don't be bossing me around.
Yeah. It's so similar when you're teaching people how to train dogs too, is like that, mm-hmm. that patience and that presence, and that it's not always, you know, for a number of reasons, you know, good to force things. You don't
exactly.
have to force things. You can use other ways that are actually smarter and
absolutely.
I think more respectful to get what you want.
Well, and I think that that's very true of what we see between the sheep and the dogs, is it's really, it really shows like a patience and a tenacious attitude, but just a really kind of no-nonsense approach to it mm-hmm. helps clarify the relationship. And the dogs who have that patience and tenacity are, they're just gems, you know, and it, not all dogs can do that. Some of them are like, whoa, I can't do it. I can't take it
anymore. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes talking with Maggie McClure, who's the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote, or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little!
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week, Vicki talks with award-winning Broadway producer Mitchell Maxwell.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We are talking with Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. Welcome back, Maggie.
Thank you.
So there's going to be some, we've been talking about, so these are sheepdog trials, mostly border collies and also some kelpies, Australian kelpies, is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And these dogs have, you know, a similar style of herding.
They look incredibly different, but they're basically, you know, a gathering breed more than a driving breed.
Okay. As opposed to, like, we have two Australian cattle dogs that are herding breeds, you know, intense herding breeds, very smart, similar, but a different job description within the context of herding.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it makes sense, you know, border collies, you know, traveling long distances, working with sheep, whereas cattle dogs are more designed to be in confined areas, moving larger animals shorter distances.
Correct.
So
yeah.
It's a little more torque to to the nip. How do the kelpies and border collies work differently from each other if they are relatively similar?
Well, the kelpies, being an Australian breed, are probably, I would say,
different accent.
Yeah, exactly. they have no coat. They're a very short-coated dog. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of the kelpies out there almost look like a Doberman Pinscher, you know, with prick ears, and they're black and tan, generally sometimes black. Mm-hmm. Some can be small in stature, but some are actually the size of a border collie or even taller, mm-hmm. so a little more leg and black and tan dog. Really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of their working style, here we have a variety of different sheep across the United States. And when you get down into Australia, there's actually, they tend to have a lot of the same type of sheep, which can be fine wool, similar to what we call a fine wool breed, which is similar to what we'll have at this trial.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes they can actually work, I'd call it a little bit more like a hummingbird, a little bit lighter, so they might not be as grippy, where here in the United States we have a high expectation of the border collies to be able to hopefully work, you know, all sorts of different kinds of livestock, you know, sheep, cattle, mm-hmm. pigs, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. ducks. But, you know, sometimes they have to have a little bit more grit with our Western, with some of our sheep, mm-hmm. And cattle. So that would be one way of looking at it. But generally, they work pretty darn similarly.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talked about, I remember last year, was something called scope, in that if I had brought my cattle dogs out to the field of the sheepdog trials, they wouldn't even be looking, let alone see, but they wouldn't even be looking that far away for the livestock, whereas the border collies are more programmed to look further, you know, to work over greater distances.
Right. We want the dog to start, even at an early age, is, you know, to be able to look up and kind of suss out the scene in a big way, not just what's in front of them, but, you know, they're looking far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you wanted to talk about some behavior stuff, too, but I think that all ties into what some people end up having challenges with having a dog like this at home, is they are so sensitive and they're so hyper aware and their antenna runs just so high that they're aware that, you know, a bird just landed 300 yards away. Oh my gosh, there's an airplane way, way up there over the tree line, you know.
Yeah.
They're wired a little different. They're a sensitive dog to be able to pick up on the nuances and changes in the environment.
Yeah. And we'll talk, we'll go back to the training and behavior topic, but I wanted to make sure to talk about some of the other fun things that are going on at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Vashon Sheepdog Classic is September 30th, October 1st and 2nd, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you can find them online at VashonSheepdogClassic.com, and it's being held at Misty Isle Farms on Vashon Island. And so there was something going on called Sheep to Shawl.
Yeah, we have a few vendors who are going to be at the field this year. One of them is kind of a Sheep to Shawl is kind of a fun, or it's not an organization, but it's kind of like a mini event where we have the Vashon Fiber Guild, or a group of people who like to work with the fiber arts,
mm-hmm.
so doing felting and quilting and spinning, and they're we're basically going to be working with this gal, T. Yamamoto from Wolftown, and she's going to be supplying and shearing, hand shearing using the old metal blade style of shears. She's going to be doing some shearing demonstrations of sheep, and then they're going to take that wool through the whole process there and make a shawl at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So people will have an opportunity to see the wool coming off the sheep and how it's being handled in different ways, being carded or felted or whatever they're going to do. Then the spinning, they can watch spinning, and then the weaving and just putting it all together into a garment.
Mm-hmm. And you've also got a fundraiser going on that you did do last year through an organization called Partners in Education.
Mm-hmm.
Pi.
Yeah, we've got a dog sponsorship program. We call it Smart Dogs for Smart Kids. And people can get online at our website, and they can sponsor a dog. We have businesses doing it and individuals. And you can pick out a dog, and your name will be attached to that dog. And it's a way to support our teachers and our students here on Vashon Island. But it also gives you an opportunity to potentially win a trip. So if your dog is the high-end trial dog of the weekend, then you get to go to Whistler for 3 nights.
Wow.
So it's kind of a fun way to give back, but, you know, and I don't know. We like keeping the community tied in here and having that opportunity to reach out beyond the shores of Vashon for folks who want to help out mm-hmm. the teachers in our community, too.
Yeah. And so if you can pick a dog to sponsor, and if the dog that you choose wins, then you win not only are you donating to this organization, but you also win this getaway sponsored by the Whistler family. Was it Whistler Family Getaway?
Yeah.
So, Maggie, who do you think is going to win? No, just kidding, just kidding.
I don't know.
Don't say. So,
if people really wanted to get deep into it, I'm sure they can find all the stats at the USBCHA website to find out how those dogs are doing.
Yeah, we'll have to. Well, I follow them closely, all of them. So there's lots of stuff going on. There's also going to be some local food available. And like you said, more food this year because we showed up last year and they were out.
Oh, I know. We had such a lovely turnout of people. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was we're going to be more prepared for everybody this year. So
good.
It's really growing and people are excited about it. And we want to make sure that they have ample ample eats,
yeah.
ample local eats. So yeah, we'll have food on site. We'll have local and seasonal and other, and we'll also have like a little kids zone that we have some folks from our high school are going to put together, and kids can come in and do crafts mm-hmm. and play around mm-hmm. in there as well. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
Yeah.
So, again, this is the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, and you can find out more. And you can also online, VashonSheepdogClassic.com, and that's also where you can find out about the Smart Dogs for Smart Kids sponsorships if you would like to sponsor a dog and also have a chance to win this Whistler Family Getaway. You can do that on the website as well, and it has the list of the dogs' names and the handlers and where they were from that are available still for sponsorship.
That's right. And it's all PayPal, and you get your tax deduction letter straight away. So that's all good. And there's, I think we have 50 dogs running. So pretty good odds.
Yeah. and their names and where they're from and all that stuff. And most of them are Washington, Oregon, BC, Idaho, you know, from the region. So these are local working dogs. I met I was at some friend's property a few weeks ago, and I met this border collie. He's a really cool dog. He was a working dog from a farm, and was adopted by a friend of mine about a year ago. And they're up in northeastern Washington. The cows and horses that are just roaming free, basically really have free range, and they're allowed to go into your property. And if you want to keep them out, you have to fence them out. So as a result of that, we would have, you know, cows just walking through the pasture, you know, just hanging out. And they were in an area that we didn't want them to be. And so we were, you know, went out and tried to shoo them away, and they were rather unimpressed by us. But then JD came out. And he's a serious man, as they like to say. And he just told them to get on their way and flushed them right out, and then came back. And he was like, yep, that was easy.
Good.
It's nice to have a good dog around when you have to move livestock. That's for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some training and behavior topics as they pertain to especially herding breeds. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
So you might as well have a good time on none. Sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit DrDonsAutomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet. For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
So you might as well have a good time. Oh no, sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we are back with Maggie McClure, who is the coordinator of the Vashon Sheepdog Classic, which is coming up here in just about a week and a half, September 30th, October 1st and 2nd on Misty Isle Farms on Vashon Island, a lovely day out of the city, or you can make a weekend out of it if you want. Just a really wonderful time. Get out of the city, get to a beautiful setting, and watch some dogs do what they were meant to do. There's nothing more enjoyable, really, to me. And Maggie works with dogs in the capacity of training and behavioral work as well on Vashon Island. And we were talking a bit before the show about our experience with, you know, working with these types of dogs. And Maggie, you said something that I think is really, really important to speak to. And I think, you know, this definitely applies to lots of different types of dogs, not just herding breeds, but maybe especially herding breeds because of like what you were talking about with their antenna being so sensitive. But how, like, I know for us, with our two cattle dogs, you know, very smart, high energy, high drive dogs, that it's a challenge to meet their energetic needs. And so, you know, and that's something that a lot of people and I think can appreciate in living with dogs that are high energy and athletic and smart.
Mm-hmm.
And what people can commonly do, and I have seen this with, I mean, I can relate to this with my own dogs as well in how it can go wrong, because I've been kind of aware of this and careful about it, but is when if you're going out and throwing a ball for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of if that's the main form of exercise, how that can actually go wrong and work against you. So talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I think you brought up a good point too earlier when you were saying that, you know, there can be quite an impact on the dog's body, especially if people are throwing, be it a frisbee or a ball, and they're throwing it really high in the air and the dog has to twist and turn and they fall funny when they hit the ground, or you know, having the dog do something like that when they're on concrete or asphalt can be just terribly hard on their joints.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the physical aspect, but what always concerns me most is the mental side of it. And with a lot of herding dogs and other just high drive dogs, I've seen this happen with Labradors a lot too, and other breeds, but is, you know, that they want to get that ball, and they're not having any other physical outlet, be it big walks or time at the park or whatever it happens to be. They're not getting that, and their people are taking them out to the park or the backyard, and they're throwing the ball relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And they see a tired dog, and they see their dog get excited the moment they reach for that ball, and the dog is, you know, wound up and they throw until the dog is exhausted. And what worries me about behavior or what we're seen with these dogs is that the mind is never, ever getting quiet. And when you have something like a border collie or a dog that's going to be a more thoughtful dog, and all you're doing is filling all that energy into a little ball, it becomes like a very addictive behavior, where if that's all they're getting, they get so wound up to get that ball, to get that release, to get to be able to think about where that ball is going to go and how to get it as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. It becomes very jazzy to them, and it's very, very, very hard to get that dog to calm down. Because mm-hmm. even if folks feel like they're physically exhausting the dog, mm-hmm. they're in fact keying the dog up for their next ball fix. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost It's doggy crack.
Yeah.
And the dog gets more and more ramped up. And I was just at a competition, and I heard someone chit-chatting in the stands about their border collie and how that dog got them up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they essentially had 4 or 5 hours throughout the day that they had to throw that ball for their dog, mm-hmm. otherwise he couldn't get enough. Mm-hmm. And I've actually gone out on behavior cases where I've had a dog where the owner didn't throw the ball fast enough, and now the dog would bite them on the leg.
Oh, nice.
You know, because their tosser is not tossing quick enough.
Yeah.
So we just become like this pawn in their game.
Right. So what would be activities that would help to burn that mental energy, especially, mm-hmm. but in a way that will help to quiet the mind?
Well, I think two things. If someone has limited time and they want to utilize a toy in training, well, that's great, but I would put lots of boundaries around it. So, you know, the dog has to hold a stay until the toy hits the ground, mm-hmm. and they give a release word or something like that. That alone can be a great for someone who already has a dog who is a ball freak.
Right.
You know, putting some boundaries on that ball and utilizing it as a training device,
yeah,
and really working on that self-control,
yeah,
is key. And then in terms of general exercise, I think it's really for border collies in particular, I really like to see people utilize that dog's mind. So, you know, doing trick training, doing more complex types of training,
yep.
be it, you know, not just how to sit up or dance or go over a jump, but doing series of things in a row and
yeah.
actually chain different behaviors together. So you have little routines of all those tricks.
Yep. Nose work is a great one,
nose
too.
Nose work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, nothing's better than good old road work, you know, or hiking. Or,
yeah.
or to me, that gives the dog the ability to go for a walk and their mind is clear and they can walk a few miles and they can wander up and down the road or the shoreline, and they're not, it's not this wound, fired up energy, you know, give me the stick, give me the stick, give me the rock, give me the ball. You get rid of all the gimme, 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 and you just have a nice walk and you look
yeah.
at the view.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to me, that's a good, quiet-minded dog who can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a really important point, and I'm glad that you made it, because, you know, I think a lot of people that's going to resonate with a lot of people, not just with herding breeds, like you said, where, you know, it's actually creating a monster, so to speak. Well, I'm very much looking forward to attending the sheepdog trials again this year. My father actually is going to be in town from Massachusetts during that weekend, so he's going to get to experience them as well. So that'll be fun. Take him out to Vashon, have the ferry ride, and watch the dogs do their thing.
Oh, great.
The website again is VashonSheepdogClassic.com. You can also find them on Facebook. They have a Facebook fan page, Vashon Sheepdog Classic, so you can become a fan. And I will add, I don't think you had one last year, so I'll add that to the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page favorites. You can also get to them through that. And check out the website. You can learn about how you can sponsor one of the dogs for the event, and in doing so, make a donation for Partners in Education, so Smart Dogs for Smart Kids. And you can also, by doing that, have a chance to win a Whistler Family Getaway. And if you've missed any part of this show or want to hear any of our past shows from over 2.5 years, you can go to dogtalkshow.com and go to the podcast page, and all of the shows with the most recent one at the top will pop up, and then you can just click on the play button and it'll play from your computer. Just make sure your volume is on. And you can also download all of our shows on iTunes as a free audio podcast. So just go to iTunes Audio Podcasts, search for The Dog Talk Show, and you'll find us. And then you can also subscribe, and then all the new shows will automatically show up in your iTunes inbox. Maggie, thank you for your time today, and I'll look forward to seeing you. I'll find you during the trials when we're there.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you and having you out.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.